abbreviated form of Advent, but we're going to light two additional candles today. And one will be pink, which is that of the shepherd candle, or could be also candle of joy. And the other purple would be the angel candle, or could be considered that of the candle of love. I like that. Next Sunday will be Christmas Eve, and we will look at that of the last candle, which would be the white, is the Christ candle. And so we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But today I want to look at these two areas, of that of joy and that of love. Something that the world needs, something that we have, something that we know where to go to get, amen? And we know by now that you can't get it in this world. This world will not give you love, the love that you need to sustain you. And this world will not give you the joy and that it will stay with you. Everything in this world is fleeting by. And whatever this world can give you, it's just what? Temporal. And it's just now, today, it's here, and it's gone tomorrow. But anything that we get from that of God is with us today. Like his word says, right? I'm the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And as we look at all of his attributes, these are the attributes that were, that are, and that will continue. And we want to maintain those attributes of him, and we realize that these things that he has for us as we go into this season of Advent and understanding where we're at, and understanding the birth of Christ, but knowing that these two of today, of joy and love, many people today don't have either one. And that is sad, isn't it? They go through this life with sadness and no joy. They go through this life with not sensing the true love, that what God's love is really about. We know that anything in this world, and the God of this world, Satan, has done a great job of counterfeiting the things of what God has. And the reason why you know they're counterfeit is because they don't last. It's just like that of how man tries to find more money and will find a dollar bill, a 50 or a 100 or a 20, and will counterfeit it. And they get it so good. But in the end, but the end of all of that, it's still, guess what? Counterfeit. It's worthless. It has no value. Any of that is, well, I was going to say, any of that that's counterfeited today, it's not backed up by what our treasury is, but even the things that our government prints is not backed up anymore, so I can't go there. Well, scratch that analogy. But back in the day, when it was counterfeit, there's nothing behind it. It was just paper. Maybe a good copy, but it was just paper. And that's what the world does with love and peace and joy and hope. It's all counterfeit. And we want to come, not just today, but every day, every message, or a lot of the messages throughout the year, and to give people something to hold on to give something to people to go to and to grab a hold of and to take it. And guess what? Keep it. Keep the love. Keep the joy. Keep the hope. Keep the peace. All of these things that we have from that of who? God. So as we look at the one candle here, that pink candle that was lit, we can go to, if you want to, just go to Luke 2:7. Then we'll jump to that of love. And it's a very familiar verse for John 3:16, but the love shows there. And so when we look at this candle of joy, the shepherd's candle. Oh, you gotta enjoy those shepherds, huh? What a bunch of guys that was. You know, but they were very important. We had a long time back now, I found a little booklet that I had gotten out of some of the books that my father-in-law had picked up, and it dealt with and did a great explanation of shepherds of the biblical times and how important shepherds were. I mean, you know, the common person, the city folk, would look at them as, you know, shepherds, lowly people, dirty, scroungy, yuck. But the head shepherd and those, and especially the head shepherd, they were known to be, like, they'd come close to a community, and if someone was sick in the community, it wouldn't be unusual for them to go to the shepherd or have the head shepherd go in and care for them, because as a head shepherd caring for the flock of their masters, they had to take care of the sheep. And they had to be kind of like a veterinarian. They had to know how to handle and take care of when a sheep got hurt or injured or sick. And so they were kind of like, you know, the beginning of a doctor, you know. So shepherds were, the head shepherd especially, they're very important people. But we know as far as the shepherding and they're taking care of the flock and they're the guardian of the flock, you know, they didn't want the wolves to come in and to destroy them. And so it was a very important too as well. But we find here in Luke 2 and 7, it talks, "And then she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Some might say a feed trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I was doing some further readings on these things, and you talk about the inn and where they were at there. And it really wasn't like a big town. It wasn't like they had like the Hampton Inn or, you know, Holiday Inn Express and things like that. They probably didn't have really any inn. The inns they talk about in the verbiage and the customs of that time would just be houses that were big enough, and they had like an upper room that people could rent out for the times of coming in to get their senses and things of that nature and accountabilities. And so it wasn't like an inn as we would think of. It was just homes and houses that had extra rooms that they could rent out. But anyway, we get into this that there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were, in that same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, I would say today, you've got to behold. You've got to behold when things are happening from that of God. Behold, he's doing something in your life. Behold, there's something coming. Behold, he's there and he wants to show you or do something or give you something or help you through something. But anyway, let's look at this. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. It says a lot about the shepherds, because they were out there taking care of them. They were like country guys, you know, nothing feared them. You know, they would take care of any kind of problem out there. But this caused fear, caused them to be afraid. Well, I guess if I were out in the dark and the glory of the Lord shone around me in a bright light, I would probably be afraid. And then the angel, what? Says to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, which will be to all people." And it wasn't just joy, but it was what? What does your, is there a word before joy in your Bible? Say it again. Great joy. Say it one more time. Great joy. I bring you great joy. Here's another thing. Behold, we ought to think about a little bit. How about behold, there's great joy. I'm going to tell you, things with God are not just minuscule. They're not just, oh, well, they're a little wishy-washy. Anything with God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Our God is great. Say that. My God is great. My God, your God, our God is great, because he is great. He is the great I am that I am that I am. No more thinking, no more discussion. Anybody that wants to discuss that with you, just say, oh, just nip it, nip it, nip it. As Barney Fife would say, nip it. My God is great. You're not going to tell me anything different. I'm not going to receive anything that you want to say that he's not. He is great. My Jesus is great, God in the flesh. Holy Spirit that leads me is great. Everything from God is great. Man, I love that. But anyway, here we go. So, we find out that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Even that person that you're trying to share the love of Christ with, and they're scoffing at it, and they don't believe it, they don't understand it, guess what? He died and he came for them as well. He came for those that were going to crucify him. He came for all. wasn't just the select crew. It just wasn't the upper socialite people of the time. It was for everyone, rich, poor, young, old. Now the problem about the whole thing is, usually when you've got the wealth and you've got society and you've got what you need, a lot of times you look and you think, I don't need nothing else, right? Certainly I don't need anything from this babe born in a manger out in the sticks in a cave in a feeding trough. How could he be of hierarchy? How can he be of heritage of a king? My goodness, because in my times, when I'm living then at that time, I know in society realms that if a child is born of that of notoriety and of kingship, he is born in a palace. He's got the best of anything and everything. And we're trying to tell them, Jesus, King. Jesus, Lord. Well, you could imagine at the time, people are going like, really? I don't think so. And it was the common person, the lowly person that really began to receive that. And even they didn't understand it, right? They had doubts themselves. But this is talking about he is blessing them, and I bring you good tidings of great joy. We can look at joy in that of cheering. You know, if you look at Psalms 35, we can look at that quickly, or you can turn there, but it's just basically this. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what does come in the morning? Joy." We've had a message on that. Joy comes in the morning. I know sometimes for us as we get older and we sustain and live through the night and the sun comes up, it's a pretty joyful sight that, hey, I'm around for another day. I'm joyful now. But the joy comes in the morning. When the sun is rising, you see new life, you see and hear the birds, all these things happening, joy comes. That's like in our spiritual walk and the things that we're going through. Hard times are holding you down, but joy comes in the morning. This joy is not just a joy, but it's a shout of rejoicing. The shout of the joy, rejoicing. It's a shouting of loud cheering and triumph. You, in going through a problem, you have victory. Amen? And when you're going through that problem and you're going through that situation, even though you're still in it, I would encourage you to do what? Give that out with a great shout of praise. Don't go with, oh, I'm going to be beaten up today. Oh, it's going to be a struggle. Oh, it's going to be bad news. You get up that day or whatever the case is, and you say, it's a joyful day. I'm going to shout and rejoice with joy to my Jesus. It's a cheering and triumph. What do you triumph? Well, you triumph. When you triumph, it's something that you've won, right? You triumph in, do you triumph whenever you lose? No. You triumph in victories. You win a race. I'm triumphing. You know, a football team wins the game. They triumph. You know, whatever the case in life, in the natural, when victory comes and we win something, oh, you've seen it. You've seen it. I hope we got some shouting and victory and rejoicing today when the Packers play. Just saying. I hope, because there'll be people out there shouting and praising. Hell, they might not be saying hallelujah. Well, some might be saying hallelujah. Ooh, he caught the pass. Ooh, he got it off. Oh, whatever. But hallelujah. But they'll be shouting and rejoicing because their team is triumphing. You too, individually, you are triumphing over the things of this world, over the things and the schemes and the evils and the things of the devil wanting to destroy you. You have victory. You have the joy. I've got the joy. Oh, the joy. I was going to come to this at the end, but it's just the joy. Oh, what's this? There's a song out there. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me, but this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Well, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The world will try. You know, give them their attitude. Hey, attaboy. You know, the devil, you're going to try. That's who you are. You're going to try. But you're not going to succeed. Because this joy that I've got, I didn't get through the world. I didn't win this joy because of what the world has given me and the joy the world is having for me. I am getting this joy because it's out of my kingdom authority. It's out of my kingdom with that of God. And God's joy that came into me is something that the Lord gave me. And He will sustain me with the joy that I've received. The Lord will sustain you. Amen? You got to believe it. I can look out there, and I'm not going to point, but I can point to several people saying, you're going through a lot, but you will, if you allow the Lord to be there, He will sustain you, and you will shout victory. You will shout a triumph, and it even says this, singing. Oh, that's where it says, I got the joy, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. And then it goes, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my, all these things deep into me. And just remember, the world didn't give it. The world's not going to take it away. The only way the world's going to give it or get it is you give it to it. Anything that the devil gets from you is you willingly surrender it to him. Believe it or not. You don't have peace. You know why you don't have peace? You gave it to the devil. You allowed the devil to tell you and to cause you to think and doubt. We've had messages on that. But we find that if he can get you to doubt these things, he will take those things. And we, as silliness as we are, we almost hand all of these things that God has for us, we almost give it over to the devil on a silver platter. Here's my joy. Here's my peace. Here's my strength. Here's my health. It goes on. Here's my family. Here's everything that I have. It's yours, devil. No. No. God gave it to you. You hold on to it. And then when the devil tries to take it from you, you get your strength from God. And then you start to shout the devil down with joy. And you start to sing to him. Devil, what he's done for me, he can do for you. The devil goes, no! I don't want him! Because they're at odds all the way through. That's the whole thing. That's what it's all set up to be. It's going to be like that. You know, the devil is not going to be saved. It's a war taking place of good and evil, but the good wins out. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to sing. We're going to shout. We're going to have triumph. This joy, Rena, R-E-E-N-A-H, Rena, whatever. It describes the kind of joyful shouting at a time of a great victory. In Proverbs, it talks about this. It describes the jubilation of the righteous when the wicked are eliminated. Woo! There's a day when the wicked are going to be eliminated. They got their days are numbered. Zephaniah talks about this, literally says that God will dance over his beloved people with singing or a shout of joy. Could you imagine the Lord? Ooh, God, what? He's dancing. God will dance over his beloved people with singing or a shout of joy. This may be best illustrated by the testimony of the redeemed returning to Zion from captivity. This word is for both singing and of joy. That's why we talk about the candle of today, this candle that we lit, the shepherd candle, the candle of joy. Oh, Jesus came so that we could have joy. Oh, hallelujah. Have life in abundance and more abundance. You know, as things in more abundance and things like that, I can have abundance, he came. For joy, he came. All of these things that are for us. So anyway, this is one area. This is for cheering. Now, Habakkuk 3:18. Has that got that? Habakkuk. Okay, 3:18 it says. It talks about, yeah. 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord God, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Here we're talking of joy. Remember, we're looking at joy. It says here, this joy is to rejoice again, to be glad, to be joyful. It contains the suggestion of dancing for joy or leaping for joy. It talks about in the verb originating this, to spin around with intense motion. Spinning around with intense motion, this lays to rest the notion that the biblical concept of joy is only a... Now, some organizational churches will say this, oh, bless God, you got to have a quiet joy. You got to have an inner sense of well-being joy. My goodness, God dances for joy over Jerusalem and because of his people. In that of Isaiah, and we talk about the righteous Messiah shall rejoice in God's salvation with an intensity that the psalmist cannot find words to describe. In turn, the redeemed citizens are joyful in their king. We dance, we shout, we say hallelujah for joy. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's some of those things and descriptions of that. So as we look at the area of joy, joy is a positive attitude or a pleasant emotion. Joy is a positive attitude or a pleasant emotion. It's a delight. When we look in the Bible, there are several types of joy mentioned. It may be listed as gladness, contentment, and cheerfulness. For God's people, though the joy we have should be that of holy and pure. See, our joy is holy and pure from that of God. It's not from that of the world. This type of joy rises above your circumstance, and it focuses on the character of God. Do not focus on your circumstance. Right? But how many of us focus on our circumstance? I do. Easily it happens. God's characteristics as well as his acts are the cause of rejoicing. The nature of true joy centers around God. That's why we can have joy in the midst of a battle, in the midst of things falling apart, in the midst of things not going right, where we're at. Yes, it's bad. What we're dealing with, yes, it's bad. But the best way to deal with it is with that of God. And part of that with God is with that of joy. We find in Psalms 32:11, it talks about this in New King, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalms 32:11, we are to, shout for joy, be glad in the Lord. Romans 5:10-11, for if we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also will rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice, have joy, through whom we now receive the reconciliation. It is because of Jesus that we are now the friends of God. Easy read version that way. We've done that song. I should have got that today. I am a friend of God's. He calls me friend. In the Son, Jesus, we're to have joy. John 15:11, New King James says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full, that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing, the Amplified would say. How many people have you run into where their actually joy is overflowing? Not many, but I'm trying to tell you, when you bounce into somebody that their joy is overflowing, sometimes what happens, Dawn, it could get on you. Sometimes their joy gets and jumps on you, and all of a sudden you're laughing with them. You don't even know why. You're just happy. Oh, wow, God. It's almost like that of crying after you come through a crying time, how you feel kind of like cleansed out, just like, huh. Laughing, it does something. It just cleanses things out, and it just sets you on a different plane at that time. In Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, delight, take pleasure in him, is the Amplified. And it says, again, I say rejoice, joy, rejoice. He comes for joy, the candle of joy, the shepherd's candle. By that of the Holy Spirit in Romans 14:16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? It's righteousness and peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit and have joy, amen? Have you ever known somebody that's truly, truly filled with the Holy Spirit and they don't have joy? Oh, I might go through a hard time and a scrape here and there, but let the Holy Spirit get into my life and reactivate and come alive in that time of situation. And pretty soon I will forget my troubles and I will begin to rejoice or sing unto that of the Lord or praise Him or thank Him. Hallelujah. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power," here again, "by the power of," say everybody, say, "the Holy Spirit." Yes. How? By the Holy Spirit. You don't need to fabricate it yourself. If you're a child of God, just let God have your being. All that I am and all that I care to be. Oh, I want to be with you, Lord. Come and fill me. Come and be in me. Use me. Oh, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. In his presence. There's a fullness of joy in his presence. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh. And quickly, Galatians, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's that joy again, gentleness, self-control, Holy Spirit involved. Now we find the joy in the New Testament in the birth of Jesus, Matthew 2:9-10. The shepherds, here we are, when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east, they went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Just if we could like zoom back to that time and all the crazy things happening and oppressional things and society and life back then is probably pretty similar to today, just different players, different things of hindrances and all that. But when that birth of Jesus and that star appeared. What about the resurrection of Jesus? Matthew 28:8 says, "So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." What about the names of our names are in the book of life in Luke 10:20. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but we should rejoice because your names are written in heaven." One more. One more. Your name is written in heaven. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let your name be put in the Lamb's Book of Life. For healing, Acts 8:7-8. Acts 8:7-8. "For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great," what in that city? "Joy." When people get set free, there's what? Joy. Someone's going through health situations and they're healed, there's great joy. When things aren't going right and things begin to straighten out, there's great joy. When you find you made an additional error in your bank account and instead of being under, you know, missing, you know, like, oh, I could have used like $300, you actually got $900 because you did something wrong. That's great joy, you know? We find things of great joy when things turn out to be better than what we had. What about this? Healings, we talked about that. Great joy, paralyzed, lame, or healed. Sinners repent. Luke 15, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. It's how important it is for salvation. We talk about that. Do you understand? Like there's one person out of 50 million says the sinner's prayer, all of heaven rejoices. Woo. Whether things are going well or when hardships come along, true joy will transcend the waves of life. Ooh, the waves of life. This type of joy comes from us having a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. What kind of relationship? Consistent. I'm going to tell you guys, you can't dilly-dally and patty cake. One day you're in, one day you're out. You'll be miserable. Guarantee it. Oh, I'm so fired, on fire for God. Oh, it's great. This is good. Oh, great message. Great this. Great, 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 great. 3 days later, you've left that, and pretty soon the devil comes in and he does what he wants to do. Oh, you can't go by emotions. You can't go how you feel. You've got to know, even when all hell is breaking against me, joy is mine. Not my joy, his joy. Not my strength, his strength. Not my way, but his way. And it's hard to understand that. I'm not saying it's easy. But that's where we walk it in that faith area. And we just have to say, well, Lord, your word tells me this, and I believe your word to be true. Help me. And I'm going to believe that you will, by that of the Spirit, begin to have a peace or a joy come back into that time. Remember, a lot of times we have been in our problems a lot longer than we've been with God. A lot of times in our walk with this world, we've lived it for how many years, and all of a sudden we get turned to God, and we think that everything is rosy-posy and everything's great. It is rosy-posy. It is great. Our name's been written in the book of life. I'm going to go to eternity there when I die. But we are still in this life and going through things. And some of the things that we caused our things to go through, it might take some time of cleaning up, cleaning out, readjusting. And during those times, we will have frustrations and situations. But you've got to be, what? Consistent with that of God. He's with you consistent. He's never left you, never forsake you. He's consistently there. But we have to have a consistent relationship with Jesus. It's best if we can intertwine our lives with Jesus. Amen. He will help us walk through adversity without sinking into debilitating lows. You know, when we get low, it debilitates you. It takes the life out of you. It wreaks havoc on your body. It does physical things, mental anguish, you name it. It'll do it. Amen. He will help us walk through adversity without sinking into debilitating lows. He will also help when things are prospering for us to keep us level-headed. Be level-headed with that of God. The joy of living with Jesus daily will help us be level-headed no matter how high or how low our circumstances may be. We have that joy. And that's the thing, that we walk that thing as it is day in and day out. We don't want to be this type of Christian. How many... Every once in a while, we've always been that. And what that is, that's you're allowing the world to control you with this. But if we can be that of a Christian, of that of the child of God and his kingdom, our life should be kind of like this, and maybe every once in a while bump up even better. But we don't want to go below that and get down into the world strife of things. If nothing else, let's keep that level plane and even get better than that. And we can do that with that of the joy. Amen? So now I want to just touch upon love real quick. And really, love is kind of a neat and interesting word, because I know in our studies on Thursdays, and we've been through it many years and back, and different things of, you know, the types of love and all of this, and we read about Peter, oh, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? But do you agape me? You know? So today, as we continue, looking at another candle. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved you. God demonstrates his own love for us. Why? Because while we were sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love and faithfulness. That's God, abounding in love and faithfulness. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Why is that so important? Because the world's love is fickle. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. 1 John 4:7-8. And we can go on about giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We talk about 1 John 4:19, where it says, we love him because he loved us. It's interesting that how hard it is that we find that we can't love, but we've got it. He's given us that love if we can just focus on it and activate it. In the New Living Testament of that same 1 John, it would say this, we love each other, and some of the manuscripts might read, we love God, or we love him because he loved us first. And that's when you start looking at that, where you were at in your sin and where you were at in your life and how you were holding up yourself and doing things in this world before him, he still what? Loved you. Still loved me. He loved us all. He loved us right where we were at. He didn't like where we were at, but he loved us and desired to get us out of that. We find that God's love is the source of all of our love, and it spreads like a fire. God's love, and God loves us, and this love kindles a flame in our heart, which in turn helps us to spread this love to others. For those that know this love, we have from God. If we are truly walking in a love that looks past that person's faults, that doesn't look at their mistakes, but it's a true love of love, they will know there's something different about that love. And it's not a love that I've got for that person so that I can get something from them. It's a love of that of God's love. Many times back, or sometime back, I would say, if we as a church could walk with that of the compassion that Jesus walked in, compassion, the love that Jesus walked in, no matter who, how, what we meet out in this world, and I've got a lot of learning to do on that. I've got a lot of growth in that I need to do. But I at least want a desire to say, oh, Father, I need to walk in your compassion. Because this world can really get you twisted pretty quick on, that's my love for you. No, I can't do that. Oh, forgive. Lord, Lord, Lord. How many times? 70 times 7. Oh, gee. As we grit our teeth. But when the world and somebody in the world sees the love that they don't understand, they'll know that it's got to be that of God, because they see so much false love out there that the world has. For those that know this love we have from God, we have no dread of facing God at the time of judgment. Just as Jesus is well-pleasing to God as his son, we too, being that we are his children because of Jesus' death, which was a sacrifice for us, we know that we are God's children by manifesting attitudes and similar actions as that of God. They will know, there's those songs out there, that we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians. Amen? And that's what gets the world. And why does he say, turn the other cheek? All of these things. When go the extra mile. All of these things that based off of love. And it's not easy. How many here have had to go to God many times to say, I need more help in that love area. I need more help in that compassion, Lord. This is getting really kind of testing me here right now. Maybe we would jump back to that if we realize that, oh, you know, the actions that I'm showing now of that, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I'm a follower. And that person looks at that and says, oh my gosh, if that's who that follower is, I don't want nothing to do with his God. Oh, boy, I wonder what God has to think about me when that person thinks about that, about me, that I put a bad light on him. Many things that we do in this life, and we change and we go, and as God gets a hold of us, one of the most concerning things that I had in my life when I transitioned from secular job and going into serving God was this, that, Lord, I tell people, you showed me this. Lord, you gave me this direction. Lord, I felt you spoke this to me. I don't understand it, Lord, but I feel and truly believe it was from you. But, if anything was just that of me, Lord, please correct me. Right now. Correct me right now and set me back on the proper path that I should be on. Because I do not want to give people the bad representation of you. And I felt, and I would say this to him sometimes, I don't want to give you a black eye, God. Because what I'm confessing and all of that of God said, because people will say, oh, did he really say? Did he really say to do that and you got out of your job and you fell flat on your face and now you're destitute, you lost your house, you lost your family, you lost everything? That's God? That's not God. No. That was somebody that acted out of what they thought, emotions or, you know, back at that time when I was 39 years old or pushing 40, I thought it was my midlife crisis. I thought I had a reason to be that way. I always tell people, it's just like I didn't feel like I wanted to buy a Corvette. I don't know. I was like, God, people that go through this at this time of their age, they buy something crazy. They don't just do what I did, do they? Oh, Lord. But it was my tenderness with him that I said, Lord, I love you so much. And I know you love me so much. And we're sharing testimonies and things. Lord, I don't want to paint a bad picture about you and how you would destroy something. And so, Lord, correct me. Set me back where I need to be. Anyway, that's that part of I want to give honor and glory to my God. Because people are looking at me. Guess what? People are looking at you. You confess and profess to be a child of God. And there's people somewhere off to the side paying attention to what's going on. And Lord, we just want to be honoring and glorifying you, as Jesus said. So in 1 John 4:10, in the New King, in this love, and in the New Living, it says, this is real. Oh, I'm sorry, love. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or a sacrifice for our sins, to take away our sins. Appropriation. This is a defined act of gaining or regaining the favor or goodwill of someone or something. Jesus came, that of love. God loved us. He sent Jesus. We are reconciled back to God. But what did he do? The act of gaining or regaining the favor or the goodwill. Appropriation, this word is related to merciful. Appropriation is used only here in 1 John 4:10 and 1 John 2:2. This word describes Christ through his sacrificial death as appeasing the wrath of God on account of sin. Because of the atoning death of Christ, God is merciful to the sinner who believes in him and is then reconciled back to God. Oh, one of the most driving forces that we read in scriptures is that of love. What is one area in our life, in our society, that's missing? Love. The true love. You'll hear people say, well, I don't feel love. I don't feel that I am loved. I don't sense love. One might say, well, yeah, I've been hurt by love. The world love. I've been hurt by the world's love. These are all areas, and there's probably a lot more, that we receive from this world. I don't feel loved. I've been hurt by love. I can't find love. Oh, I thought I had love, but I was used. And after they got what they wanted, cast me off to the side. That's the world's love. God's love comes and takes you, and takes you from the side of the life and says, here, you're the center of the attention of me. We're our daddy's, the apple of our daddy's eye, the love he has for us. Okay, the world's definition of love. According to Merriam-Webster, and it's similar to what C.S. Lewis notated in The Four Loves, the word love has multiple meanings in different contexts as outlined here. Okay, one, love, strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, maternal love for a child. There's another part of love, attraction based on sexual desire, affection, tenderness felt by lovers. Another one is affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interest. And what about the world's love compared to the scripture's love? We can find that in the Merriam-Webster as well as this, defining love first and foremost as an affectionate feeling towards someone. The problem with defining love mainly as a feeling is that what? Feelings are fickle. We only love, for whatever reason, when it's just the right thing, everything's in the right atmosphere, whatever. But here's God's definitions of love. The biblical definition of love is sacrifice, sacrificial. A love that gives first and expects nothing in return. Biblical love grants believers a peace that surpasses all understanding, which comes only from Christ. That's the big difference of the world's love and that of the love of God. And there's I got some scriptures here, but I think if I can just kind of break down here and just kind of give you just the terminology or the definitions of these things, and maybe then I can kind of maybe show and give you the scriptures where they're at and where you might find some of that. Now, the first one in that of biblical loves is eros. And it would be E-R-O-S. It's the Greek word for sensual or romantic love. This term originated from the mythological Greek god of love, which would be sexual desire, physical attraction, physical love. We find that eros in the Roman counterpart, that's where we get Cupid. That's eros, but a romantic, sexual love. And that's what a lot of this world is about. Sad to say, but that's what this world driving of love is about. Now, there's another term. This is storge. Storge, it's you think it's S-T-O-R-G-E. And it's pronounced S-T-O-R dash and then J-A-Y, storge, I guess. It's a term for love in the Bible that you may not be familiar with. This Greek word describes family love, affectionate bond that develops naturally between parents, children, and brothers and sisters. I think some of that there you would find like with Abraham and the children and just family love and the loving of one another. So that's that like term that the Bible would use for family love, affectionate bonding that develops naturally between parents, children, and brothers. Then we got the philia, P-H-I-L-I-A, pronounced F-I-L-L, dash E-E, dash U-H, capital F-I-L-L, but philia, is the type of intimate love in the Bible that most Christians practice toward each other. The Greek term describes the powerful emotional bond seen in deep friendships, philia. So first, eros, romantic or sexual love, sexual desires, physical attractions. Storge is that of an affectionate bond that would develop between parents, siblings, family, brothers, sisters. Philia, intimate love in the Bible that most Christians practice toward each other. And then, the big one, agape. Agape, that's the love. That's the love. Agape, A-G-A-P-E, pronounced U-H dash capital J-G-A-H dash P-A-Y, agape. It's the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. This term defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is the divine love that comes from God. Agape love is perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. So those are the loves that we find in biblical terms. And each one has a definite understanding of what it truly is meaning. But in the things that we find with God, it's about, as Jesus said, but do you agape? Do you agape me? And here it is. It's an unconditional, perfect, sacrificial, pure, the incomparable love for mankind that God has for us. And so we can have these loves, and we want to function in these areas of love, and just be aware of where we're functioning and what areas we're wanting. We want to be that of philia, which would be that of Christians' practice, you know, emotional bond and friendships, that of a church family, that philia love. We want to kind of get away from that of eros, which is we want something, once we get it, we're done with you. You know, the physical love, the sexual things, those pleasurable things. And if we can just knowing that God says that he loves us and that we can love him back, and that's where if we can mature ourselves to have agape love to him, I love him. But, you know, once I realize what God did for me with that of Jesus Christ coming to die because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever shall believe upon him shall have everlasting life and shall not perish. I said, oh, Lord, the love I have for my God is I don't really need anything else from him. I just love him in a way that he loves me. And for sure, he loves me a whole lot greater degree than what my love is back to him. But I just want it to be my love for him. I want a sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Anything we bring, you know, we sacrifice. That's what a sacrifice. We just sacrifice our songs, our worship and all. He sacrificed his son on a cross. But we have that time, and I would just encourage you to think about these loves and to look at God and what his love for us, God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It's the divine love that comes from God. Agape love is perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. And so that's where we come at this season of thinking about joy and the love, a special love that only he can bring. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for these times we go with you in your word. And as we have repeated many times, and we've read through these times of, you know, the hope, peace, joy, love, it continues over and over, Lord, that it just reminds us every time we read it again of how much love you have for us, how much joy you give us. May we walk in these things every day, Lord, and realize that it's not things that I can muster up myself. It's not things that I can get from that of the world, but it's things that you freely hand out and freely give to us if we do a consistent time with you day in and day out. I pray, Lord God, right now that each and every one of us, myself included as well, Lord, can be more consistent with you day in and day out with my reading of your word, meditating before you, praying to you, listening to your responses like that of the through that of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, right now. I pray just a special blessing over each and everyone here today that you would go with them. Lord, I pray you would straighten out anything in their life that's crooked, the crooked way be made straight, Lord. Low areas be raised, high areas be lowered. Oh, Father God, just give them a great week. And I pray, Lord, as we come to the conclusion of this year of 2023 and the next week or so out, Lord, let it just be a blessed time and give them encouragement, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.